You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as the countdown to Super Bowl 51 officially has begun. The Houston, Texas area hosting their first Super Bowl since the New England Patriots beat the Carolina Panthers in 2003. And it's amazing how many similarities there are between 2003's New England Patriot football team and this year's New England Patriot football team. They both come into the Super Bowl with the same record. They both only lost two games on the season. They both got shut out by the Buffalo Bills. How the hell does that happen? Well, that's case in point that a broken clock is right twice a day. But it's amazing the similarities, man, between the 2000 team. You know the last time the New England Patriots trailed in a football game was? You have to go back to week 12 when they're playing the New York Jets. All right. You know, in 2003, the Patriots in the Super Bowl, the last time they trailed was week 12. I don't know. Are you getting creeped out yet? From what I understand, the Patriots are going to be touching down in Houston, Texas in a couple hours. I think they're arriving around 4 o'clock Eastern time. We're on top of everything, all right? The Falcons got there last night, and I saw that the Falcons left the city of Atlanta yesterday like heroes. You know, it looked like a Super Bowl parade. And that's the problem. That's the problem, because the New England Patriots had a little pep rally yet. So, you know, I think this is a business trip for the Patriots. We'll see how the Falcons handle this stuff. And me personally, it would make more sense, actually, just to have these guys actually show up like a few days ago. And why not have the media day like last week? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. They're playing their biggest football game of their lives, the biggest football game of the year. It's going to be like 115 million people watching. And yet 3 days before the game, you have to meet, some dude in a rabbit suit asking you questions about Japanese cartoons. But, you know, the media day is a freak show. They should have the media day like they should have already had the media day and then let the teams prepare for the damn game. But to me, it's advantage New England. We're going to be breaking it down. Steve Merrill is going to join us. ProSportsInfo.com. Steve Merrill. We'll talk college basketball and Super Bowl props with Merrill. We continue to go through the long list of props. Paul Bovey's going to join us. He's going through the props. Bovey's also our NBA capper. We're going to hit some NBA games this evening. Jason Braddock in Houston, Texas. Things are working out fine on today's program. Will join us. We'll get the 411 for what's going on in Houston, Texas. But let's start off today's program with who ruined your Sunday. Well, I'll tell you who ruined my Sunday. The National Football League ruined my Sunday. All right. Specifically, the NFC's putrid offense ruined my Sunday. On Friday, I stood right here and I told you guys about how I enjoy All-Star games. I've always enjoyed the Pro Bowl. And in fact, in past years, I used to put bigger money on the Pro Bowl than I would the Super Bowl. I remember it was like 4 years ago when San Francisco was playing Baltimore. I literally put like $2,500. It was actually about $3,300 on the over of the Pro Bowl. I remember I was standing on my balcony thinking this better win because I already got my plane tickets to Vegas and I want to take all this money and I'm going to roll it over on the San Francisco 49ers. And I did. All right. It was a bad night in Vegas that night. Real bad at the Stratosphere. But that's besides the point. Chairs were thrown. All right. Chairs were thrown. Yet the Pro Bowl has sort of become... it's sort of become a crap fest over the last couple of years. Sort of like everything Roger Goodell touches. Like, you know, it was great stuff in Orlando last night. People were leaving halfway through the game because they were freaking cold. Last time I checked, that never happened in Hawaii. Now, did it? Now, I also remember in Hawaii, the games used to go over the number. Now, I understand they were playing for $61,000 a piece to the winners last night and $30,000 to the losers. And if you would have listened to McDonough and Gruden, they would have talked like these NFL players had less money in their bank than I do, which is 0.00 freaking zero. These guys are playing for $61,000. Now, clearly the guys on the defense last night showed up and they were laying the wood. In fact, I've never seen a Pro Bowl in which defensive players were hitting offensive guys as hard as they were last night. And the offensive dudes just sort of tapped out. The total came down to 78 points. I had the over. Yeah, so I only lost by what? I lost by 44 points. Damn, you know, and I had him on a plus 42 point teaser. But I also add the NFC. And there's a lesson to be learned here. Just take the underdog, because we all do this. We all do this. I know we all love look at the NFC. Look at the NFC, NFC, NFC. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, Odell Beckham Jr. plays for the NFC. And he did the exact same thing he did against the Green Bay Packers in the Pro Bowl yesterday. He dropped passes. You know, Odell was more busy doing a two-step for the camera all the time. Everyone else is just, you know, walking around. Jimmy Graham's bitching that he's getting tackled. And then maybe you should hang on to the damn ball. Who ruined my Sunday? I blame you, Jimmy Graham. You know, out of all the Pro Bowlers, I can blame a few people. Drew Brees, too. I actually bet on the NFC. Oh, I needed the NFC to win on a money line parlay. But that's, you know, can I blame them? Is there anything more degenerate than having your Sunday night ruined because you lost an NBA Pro Bowl parlay? Like, you want to talk about all-time depression? You know, we all know, man, Sunday nights can be rough if you have a bad weekend and stuff. It's dark, it's cold. It's like, you know, it's like 11:30 on a Sunday night. You don't want to see any more highlights. You're just getting pissed off. And then you're thinking to yourself, how the hell did I just lose as much money as I did on a freaking Pro Bowl? You know, I watched the NHL All-Star game earlier in the day, if you want to call it that three-on-three, whatever it is they're playing. I didn't watch it last year out of protest to the three-on-three stuff. I watched it this year. Yeah, I didn't enjoy it, but it was actually better than the crap fest that is the Pro Bowl. So when it's all said and done, I stand by what I said on Friday. Shut the Pro Bowl down, all right? Just shut it down. Give people a little bonus for making it. You're a Pro Bowler. You can put it in your bio. There it is. Hey, you're one of the best players in the league, but it's pretty clear. You know, it's pretty clear right now that it's a waste of freaking time. I mean, fans weren't even, you know, entertained. The most entertaining part of the game for the fans was when they actually signed a few damn autographs. So when it's all said and done, I want to thank Drew Brees for ruining my Sunday for one last time this year. Jimmy Graham ruined my Sunday one last time this year. But we have the Super Bowl. And who would have thought, you know, the Pro Bowl, we'll see if the Super Bowl can put up more points than the damn Pro Bowl did yesterday. So the countdown is on. We have one more Who Ruined Your Sunday left this year. Hopefully, I've got nothing to complain about next week. But something tells me that I will. The NFC, you ruined my Sunday. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Super Bowl 51. Well, this is it, people. We got five shows left before Super Bowl 51. We started with the props, and I guarantee you, there's not a show in the world that has already talked about as many props as we have. Yet I keep on digging and digging and digging. You know, one of our producers here, Sean, asked me, he said, you know, how are you not going to repeat yourself talking about the Super Bowl every day? I said, don't worry. We'll find new stuff every day. You just got to keep digging and digging. But when it's all said and done, we're going to be locked and loaded. Unfortunately, I don't have any money to play with. Like, it's amazing. Some Super Bowls, like my life, I am El Chapo. The only difference is I'm not in a federal penitentiary yet. You know, El Chapo, the kingpin drug dealer, he said, he tweeted out when he broke out. He said, sometimes you're on a mountaintop. Sometimes, you know, you're in the darkness. And right now we're in the darkness. I was thinking about that. Last year, the Super Bowl, you know, I had like, you know, so much money on the game. I was in the VIP area of a Cantor Sportsbook in Las Vegas. I was getting treated like a VIP. I was high rolling. I was throwing $100 on roulette spins just as I was going to the bathroom walking by. All right, I'll be back in a second to see if I won. You know, I was high rolling. This year, I was thinking about my Super Bowl spread. I don't know. White bread and Kraft dinner. I walked into a grocery store yesterday. They had like a big thing of Brady and stuff. And they're like, Super Bowl. There's like, you know, all these like chips and all this big party. And I was thinking, yeah, where's the ramen at? Because it's my, yeah, I want to come over to my house. Super Bowl ramen party. All right, we better figure something out in the next couple of days and pick some winners. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. What's going on, Steve?
What's going on, Gabe?
You know what, Steve? You guys deliver to Toronto. I'm going to order some Lucky Steve's for the Super Bowl.
Ketchup and mustard sandwich for you.
Yeah, how's the Chinese restaurant business treating you?
In the cold weather winter months, the hot soup sells pretty well. You just don't want to know what's in it. Yeah, 90% of the viewers right now have no clue what we're talking about.
That's
10 years ago. That was like satellite radio. We did the Lucky Steve segment like late at night.
I thought
you win now. You call, you win now.
Yeah, I thought too, and you know it's so bad, but our boy T-Bone. There's a new casino in Vegas. It's called the Lucky. It's called the Red Dragon. All right.
Yeah.
You can't make this up, and it's connected to the condo I used to live at in Vegas. Like literally, it's a good thing I'm not there anymore, Steve. Like I used to live with like a 4-minute walk from the Strat. But like literally, like this is 30 seconds. Like the parking lot is my old parking lot type of deal. But there's no sports book in the place. So I see T-Bone's bitching. He's like, you can order a Rottweiler soup, but you can't place a sports bet here.
Rottweiler soup. Yeah, no, the Red Dragon Lucky Casino. You got to wonder who they're catering to, right?
Stay away from the buffet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll tell you what, the Chinese New Year was this weekend, actually. Was it the year of the rooster, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. You know, so I guess it was the year of the hawk last year. Because I thought it was the year of the hawk. Now, I was gonna try to tie this in. I bought into this stuff in Vegas, all right? I won't touch a $50 bill now. Like, I picked up all the Asian gambling superstitions.
Oh, man, that'll drive you crazy.
Yeah, and if it's good enough for them, I figure it's good enough for me. They gamble, right? So.
Yeah, but do they win? I'm not so sure about that.
You know, it's true, though. This is something else. I guarantee you people don't know this, but any high-rolling gambler or any real degenerate gambler in Vegas will not touch a $50 bill.
I've never heard that one before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not going to acknowledge it. I'll pick up a $50 bill right now if I see it.
So. Yeah, I know. You know, me too, actually. I have no problem. I'd be all over it.
Plus, I'm a contrarian by nature. So if everyone's doing one thing, by the way, yesterday I put this on Twitter and on covers also. The most public dog in the NBA yesterday was the 76ers at Chicago getting 7.
Who would have thought
a month ago? A month ago, who would have thought the public would be all over the 76ers getting only 7 points? At the Bulls.
What was I supposed to do? What was I supposed to do, Steve? The Sixers are covering every damn night. The other night they were getting 11. They were getting 11 at Milwaukee. And I'm like, man, they're not going to win. They can't cover every night. They've been covering every night. I went to the well one too many times last night. But, man, how about Saturday, Steve? A ton of monster upsets in college. Every game, money line, money line, money line.
Yeah, and I actually had one Saturday night. Had Colorado plus 7, 7.5 at home against Oregon. And I had several clients that said, oh, Oregon's easy money, which made me like Colorado even better. Same thing on Tuesday night last week. Had West Virginia minus 3.5 against Kansas. Everyone couldn't understand how an 18-1 Kansas team was getting 3.5 against a West Virginia team that had lost back-to-back games. And I just love when the public lines up on underdogs because more times than not, they're wrong.
All right, Steve. So let's jump in. We'll get to a couple of college games in a minute here. But we've got some movement. We got some movement in the Super Bowl. We got some movement in the Puppy Bowl, too. Team Ruff was -8 on Thursday. I see it's down to 6.5. I think me and Ken moved that number because we told people you got to take the underdogs in the Puppy Bowl.
Well, yeah, I didn't know anything about it. I was looking through my props last night, Gabe, and I saw that they were a 6-point favorite, and I was laughing. I was like, how is this not a pick 'em? Who knows anything about this one way or the other? I had no clue that the line had come down. I actually thought it was high.
So yeah.
I didn't realize. I should have known you and the redheaded wonder were hammering that.
Yeah, if you can find a money line on this, grab them. I tell you what, they got a mean little linebacker on Team Fluff. His name is Blitz. And there's little Daphne right there.
Yeah, but how are they an 8-point favorite or even a 6-point favorite? What do they actually know who's who?
The best is Cam. Cam told me. He's like, last year, Gabe, I played it. And he goes, you know, dog ran all the way to the end zone, but he dropped the damn ball before he crossed the goal line. That's the thing. The dogs. Steve, I actually watched it. They're dropping stuff. They're stopping for water in the middle of the game. Like, you know, some dogs just stop playing. There's Daphne.
I'm thinking this line closes less than 6.
This is great. You know what? And finally, guys, hey, we finally have something we can afford the rights to. The Puppy Bowl.
I was just going to say, I'm actually very impressed that you guys had video for this.
This is awesome.
I don't know if I'm impressed or if it's kind of sad. But
this is awesome. Cool. Stadium's packed.
I still have no clue how this game works with all this great video.
All right. So, Steve, but in all kidding aside, total up to 59 right now in the Super Bowl.
Oh, the real game.
Yeah, the other game. The other game.
I know they actually have a, they have a money line and a point spread on the dog game, but they didn't have a total. They're not that bold.
Yeah. 59. I'm going to tell you here. I don't know what it is. I never win. Everyone knows this. I never win when I bet on unders, but I'm starting to like the under of this game, Steve, man. This point spread's feeling, this total feels high to me, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things that concern me with the over here, although it should be an offensive shootout if you look at the matchup. The week off with Belichick, extra time to prepare, concerns me. And just the fact the Falcons haven't been here before, they're such a high, prolific, you know, big-time offensive team. If they get a little overwhelmed by the situation and start slow, you could see, you know, some mistakes. I think, you know, if you can find it, who has more interceptions prop, I don't know if you've seen that one, Gabe. You got to figure Matt Ryan is. I mean, Tom Brady only had two all season. Then he threw two in that Houston game. Both were deflected. One was actually at the receivers right in the hand. And so it's really hard to believe on this stage that Brady won't play well again against a mediocre Falcon defense. My concern with the total and just in general in the game itself would be, you know, how does Matt Ryan play? Does he play like the fourth best passer rating in history this year? Or does he play like last year when he was actually a below average quarterback? You know, and who we'll find out.
Steve, a popular prop bet over the years has become, will there be a safety or not? Used to be an afterthought, and then it happened four freaking Super Bowls in a row.
Yeah, I know.
It happened four Super Bowls in a row. I remember I actually caught on. Like, it took me, I'm kind of dumb. So I remember by the third time I was in on it. I was like, all right, good. But I didn't have it. And then when it happened a third time, I was mad because I didn't have it as the first score of the game. And so Brady actually has been a victim to this. Brady, there was a penalty when Brady was in the end zone, actually. We had it. We remember Peyton Manning, the first snap of the game went over his head. Next thing you know, he was in the end zone.
Yeah.
So this year, Vegas has lowered it. But offshore, no is minus 1,400. Yes is plus 750. Do you take a shot on this?
I mean, I'm not going to lay 1 to 14 on a prop, but I don't think there'll be a safety. And if you look at the matchup, the only case you can make is that you got two pretty immobile quarterbacks that throw the ball a lot. So, yes, I guess that sets up the possibility. But we have two, you know, mediocre defenses. Once again, it should be the highest scoring Super Bowl ever with the total at least, which means the defensive props don't necessarily catch my eye in this game. And, you know, it might not go over 59, but I think we could all agree that both offenses hold the edges here. As opposed to last year, we had the top two defenses in the league with Carolina and Denver. That's not the case this year.
All right, so this is an interesting one. Which team will have more penalty yards? And I was thinking, you know, I'd like it if it would, which team had more penalties, but
right.
Which team has more penalty yards? You know, the Falcons are minus 125. The Pats are minus 105. And I guess the thought process is here that, you know, potentially with Julio Jones and the Falcons passing attack, that there'll be some pass interference penalties. But you know, the fact of the matter is only four teams had less penalties than the New England Patriots that did. Only 94 penalties on the season for 829 combined yards. The Atlanta Falcons ranked 20th in the National Football League with penalties, Steve. We've got five first or second year guys starting on the defensive side of the football for the Atlanta Falcons. You're telling me that a couple of these young guys aren't going to maybe jump the gun and be a little excited? There's Brady. I got to get to Brady. Coming off the edge, Vic Beasley jumps offside. And all the talk of Julio Jones and pass interference and stuff, you know, Edelman and the Pats are pretty fast at too. You know, you got roughing the passer penalties coming into play here as well. What do you make of this prop?
I really like New England in this one. Like you said, I would like it better if it was just total penalties instead of yardage, because the yardage, if you have one big pass interference penalty, which obviously could happen to either team, is kind of a random thing. And if the Falcons are losing late in the game as the underdog, you know, they're going to be throwing deeper as well. So that concerns you. But still, the one thing I said earlier, the one X factor here is the experience versus inexperience. And you would expect the inexperienced team, Atlanta, to be the one that makes more mistakes, has more turnovers, has more penalties, which most likely leads to more penalty yards. So I'm on board with you on this one. And, you know, the Patriots defense, number one scoring defense in the league, even though they rank middle of the pack in most metrics that I look at. But one of the factors is they're a bend but don't break defense. They're very disciplined, and that's why they have less penalties. So, yeah, I love New England to have less penalties, and I would have to say they're going to have less penalty yards by default as well.
You know, the total penalties by both teams in the game is 11.5. It's minus 138 to the under. 12 penalties, quite a few penalties. The Falcons are a pretty disciplined football team as well. They only have 104 penalties on the season. So that one intrigues me as well. Over under penalties, I would lean under 11 and a half. Here's an intriguing one, a pretty simple one. Matt Ryan versus Tom Brady. Who's going to have more passing yards? And it's pretty much even. And I was surprised to see this in another sports book. They have fantasy head-to-head matchups. And Tom Brady was actually favored, -2 fantasy points. I think the New England Patriots are going to try to take some air out of this game. I expect LeGarrette Blount and Deion Lewis and White to be catching passes out of the backfield. I think the Patriots are going to run the football. Now, listen, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. So he's going to end up with his 260, 280 yards or whatever it is. But they play a more of a controlled situation. The Patriots only give up 88 yards a game on the ground. You know, to me, I like this. I think Matt Ryan's going to throw for more yards. Throw out the regular season stuff, but in the playoffs, Matt Ryan in two playoff games this year, he's thrown for 730 yards. Tom Brady in two playoff games this year, he's thrown for 631. I think Matt Ryan, win or lose, throws for more yards than Tom Brady does.
Yeah, I mean, normally you want to kind of figure out the team he thinks is going to be trailing because they end up throwing for more yardage just because they have to play catch-up. Now, you know, with the three-point line here, it's a fairly even matchup. As I said earlier, if that inexperience factor comes into play, then New England probably has the lead in the second half, and that means Atlanta throws more. But all things equal, even if it's a tight game, I think all things equal, Atlanta probably throws for more as well. They're an explosive offense. They've thrown for over 300 yards per game this year, over 9 yards per pass. As I mentioned earlier, Matt Ryan having the fourth best season in history based on quarterback rating, and it's going to be a fast track in Houston. You know, it's basically like a home dome game for Atlanta, so I don't think elements or anything like that will be a factor. And therefore, I would probably lean towards Matt Ryan, especially if you think Atlanta's going to be losing in the second half.
All right, these next props, they're always a long shot. Who's going to score the touchdown first? You know, they sort of go with feelings more than anything. But I think Sanu, Mohamed Sanu, is +750 to score the Falcons' first touchdown. And will he score a touchdown at any time is +170. That's not very good odds, really. I was hoping for better than that. I think the +750 might be worth a look. And you know, call it a hunch, but I'm thinking Deion Lewis, first Patriots touchdown, +650.
What's interesting is if you look at the odds right now in some books, Atlanta players are the two favorites, even though they're the underdog in the game. Jones and Freeman are both around 7 or 8 to 1. You've got guys like Edelman and Blount around 8 to 1 as well. But even though New England's favored to score first, you've got some major Falcon players that their odds makers are saying are more likely to be the guy that scores first just because New England has so many more different weapons. It's a tough call. You know, you can see Blount pounding it in if they get down near the goal line, but otherwise it's going to probably be a receiver. And the fact that both teams throw the ball, they're so successful, and both defenses I think are mediocre, I would probably lean towards a receiver on either side if you're looking at that prop.
All right. So before we get you out of here, and for the record, there's big odds if you think anyone's going to score two touchdowns.
Which is surprising, though, Gabe, you know, as in a high-scoring game, actually. I saw you mention that earlier. I was actually thinking there might be some value with
that. Julio Jones scored two touchdowns against the Packers. He's +425. Exactly. Like, if they're going to get to 58, 59, Steve, then somebody, I mean, I know the Falcons diversify things they throw it around, but Freeman's got to get two touchdowns, or Jones has to get two touchdowns if the total's going to get there, I almost think. Like, but so for the record, if you think Julio Jones get two touchdowns +425, Chris Hogan scored two versus the Steelers. Odds makers don't expect that to happen again. It's 16-1 +1600 for Chris Hogan. All right. Duke and Notre Dame tonight. Both teams coming off of loss. Notre Dame's coming off a loss. Duke snapped their losing streak, came back late against the Wake. I like Notre Dame in this spot, actually. I know Duke got the win the other night, but Notre Dame's a good home team. They're not very good on the road. I'm not surprised they lost to Georgia Tech.
It's funny. I do my Charlotte show every Friday right after we do this segment, and last week they had all basically said, Duke, what are the odds of Duke even making the tournament? That's how down they are right now in North Carolina on this Duke team. Yet they're still 16-5 overall. That was their only home loss of the season when I was doing that show last week. They'd come off that home loss. Now, they did bounce back but failed to cover again, so it's hard to lay a point with them on the road, but a very good three-point defense this year against a Notre Dame that takes a lot of threes. I don't know if it's tonight, but at some point we're going to actually get some value with Duke because all of a sudden they become a very anti-public team.
All right, we got to get out of here, but any thoughts on Oklahoma State and the Bedlam game tonight?
Yeah, I mentioned Oklahoma's a play-on team now with their players healthy, but they got blown out by Florida, so hands off tonight. I'm going to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I know. They really did. Yeah, Brent Musburger was doing the game. His last game is tomorrow night. All right, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, Steve Merrill, let's take a quick break. Paul Bovey joins us next. We'll talk props and we'll talk NBA. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's send it to Las Vegas and Nevada. You know, the two places to be for the Super Bowl, either at the Super Bowl or in Las Vegas, Nevada. Paul Bovey joins us from Vegas right now, and Jason Braddock's going to join us from Houston, Texas in a couple of moments' time. You won't find a show anywhere on top of Super Bowl 51 as much as we are. Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com, joins us. Paul, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Doing great, Gabe. It's a little chilly here in Vegas, but I'm surviving.
All right. Yeah, well, I'm sure it's a little nicer in Vegas where you are than where I am right now. So it's the calm before the storm. I know the odds makers haven't taken any major action yet, but I know the props got hit pretty hard when Cornegay released them on Thursday night. We'll either do this show or we'll get you on Unfiltered later in the week for some final closing Super Bowl thoughts, Paul. But I know you went specifically back to Vegas to cash in on these props. So what'd you come up with so far? Any thoughts? Hasn't really been any line movement, but now that we're a week away, any thoughts on the game right now before we get to the props?
The game itself, I'm not going there, is what I'm trying to say. It's not a game that I care to venture into. Total wise, 59. Okay, so Atlanta Green Bay plays last week, and they have a total of 60. So now it's 59 with New England in there, who's 6 points superior on defense to the Green Bay Packers. Really hard to go over. And if you're doing it, you're going into an inflated number. And we all know smart bettors don't go into inflated numbers. We look elsewhere.
Yeah, you know what? I feel the same way. And I like one of the bets. Will there be more points scored in the first half or second half? I think there'll be more points scored in the second half. And, you know, even the Seattle game, and I had the over in the Seattle-Atlanta game, and I had the over in the Green Bay-Atlanta game. And I was sweating it out early in both those games, Paul. They opened up in the second, but I got to tell you, I mean, I know for a fact because I bet the in-game. The Falcons in-game total against the Packers dropped all the way to like 48.5, 49.5 at one point. I'm going to play the waiting game here as well. I can live with it maybe on a teaser down the 52, but, you know, I don't have a Morenci computer database. It's just all up here. But I got to tell you, I keep on landing around 55, 56 with my numbers, Paul.
That's about where I'm at, Gabe. 55, 56, if this were a regular season game. But we all know everybody comes out of the woodwork for the Super Bowl, and the books are going to prop this number up because they know that the squares are going to go to the high side. So it's a good move by them.
It might go up more, Paul. It might go more. It might go up more. Hopefully the public comes in spending, and then they start pulling the trigger. Because only so-called sharps, and I don't mean the sharps are smarter, but you know what I'm saying. Like, Johnny Public is not taking the under in this game. It's only going to be the sharps, right, that are doing this. So, and the Super Bowl is the only game of the year in which the public dictates the number, pretty much. You know, like, the public is in control of the number. The book just kicks back. All right, you've had success with the punt prop, but, we look at a lot of these props. They're overinflated because of the high total. And here we have one in which it's sort of, it's underinflated here, so to speak. Total punts, 7.5. Yeah. Everyone's expecting a track meet and not a lot of punts. For the record, there were 4 punts in the Falcon-Packer game, and there were 6 punts in the Steelers-Patriots game. 7.5 is too low of a number to bet under in this, Paul, in my opinion. Yours?
My opinion is that I can't get involved in this on punts. Last year, by the way, my biggest wager, and I got scooped up every 9.5 there was over on the punts. I'm just not interested in this number because you're right. It could be a replication of Atlanta, Green Bay at 4 or whatever it was, and they could tip to the high side. If it is, Atlanta may come out a little jittery and punt twice in the first quarter, and then you're in trouble. So I'm just going to lay off that. There are many things on the board that I could look at, and exploit.
Okay, here's another one that I came up with, and then I'll give you the floor and see it'll throw us a prop or two here. But a number of Atlanta Falcons to have a rushing attempt in this football game is 3.5. All right, so you got Freeman. Freeman's obviously going to have a rushing attempt. Tevin Coleman had 8 rushing attempts against the Packers. You got Matt Ryan, who's going to run. I think he'll scramble a couple of times. So that's 3. The question is, do we have one more? Now, there were 5 players that had a rushing attempt against the Green Bay Packers. I know that one game doesn't make a season, but nevertheless, we know generally, and I know you're interested in a Taylor Gabriel prop, actually, but Taylor Gabriel has gotten involved in a run game and almost on a game-by-game basis. And they did the same play, actually, with Sanu. I think they did a double one, and they got Sanu running the football. So basically, it would take standard and then one trick play to get this a bet. But you don't think Taylor Gabriel will get a rushing attempt in this game?
Gabe, there are value props where you're getting or taking odds in your favor based on the event as if you're exploiting positive expectation, meaning the more times it plays out, you're going to show a profit. Now, I'll give you an example on Taylor Gabriel. 15 games, 4 games, he had a rushing attempt. So if you were to lay the $1.80 and lose 4 times and win 11 times, you end up with a plus 3.8 units. It's real simple. 11 wins, 4 losses, the 4 losses at 1.8, $1.80. So there you are, and you're plus. So that's why I laid $1.80, because this should be 210. Could I lose the wager? Absolutely. But it's a value play, and I think when you go over on rushing attempts, you got to look at it. How many times did they go over during the course of the year, the number, and see if it works mathematically.
All right. So before we hit the NBA, we've only got about 3-4 minutes left here, Paul. Any other props I didn't bring up? What have you bet so far?
A couple other ones. Tevin Coleman, again, a value prop at 110, plus 110, that he will not score a touchdown just because 15 games played, he scored a touchdown in 7, which means it should be laying money, and instead I'm getting plus 110. Now, here's one that I like because I think it plays out. It's not a value play. I just think it plays out. Blunt over 14 carries. And interestingly enough, somebody went against me because I played it at 14.5, and the number bounced around, went to 14. I grabbed more at 14, washed out the 14.5. So now I'm sitting with Blunt at 14. If you look at his carries throughout the course of the year, 13.5 to the high side of that number. I eliminated 2 games, the Jacoby Brissett game, where the Bills shut him out because, you know, you're trailing the whole game. He's not going to get the ball. And then the Houston game, he wasn't, he didn't have his health. I think he had a flu or something. He carried the ball only 8 times. So 13.3 to the high side of that number. Belichick will stick with him. He will go over unless the Patriots fall behind.
I like the Blunt prop. I think Blunt, and it's always tricky, especially, you know, playing the fan in the fantasy world, we're aware of this with the Patriots and their alternating running back situation. But the Atlanta Falcons' one weakness is, you know, smash-mouth football, is the run defense. I think they can run it right down their throat. Similar situation when we saw Blunt run the ball down the Colts' throat a couple of years ago. You know, we know this. Belichick attacks your weakness and takes away your strength. Their strength is the offense. How do you take that away? You keep them on the field. You attack the weakness by running the football and controlled passes. Patriots don't want to get into a track meet in this game. I like the Blunt prop. All right. NBA tonight, we've only got a couple of minutes. Kings and Sixers, 2 hot teams, man. The Kings are actually on a little bit of a run right now. Tough to know about Embiid, whether he's going to play or not, as of our conversation right now. We got the Pistons and the Celtics on the board. The Celtics laying 5.5, 6 here. Cavs and the Mavericks. Cavs at the Mavs. And the Grizz and the Suns on the board here tonight. Weird NBA, nothing too glamorous tonight, but anything catch your eye?
Well, I'll make a comment on all of them. The Pistons, they played two close games this year, 94-92, and then Detroit wins in Boston, 121-114, in spite of a turnover deficit. These teams just play close games. Plus 5.5 points. Isaiah Thomas is playing great, but I would take the 5.5 in spite of the fact that the Pistons are on a little bit of a skid here. I like the points. Go to that Kings game. You give them a lot of credit, Kings, because after losing that Indiana game in overtime, they come back with no rest, beat Charlotte on the road. They've won 3 out of 4 games. But you hit the nail on the head. You don't know if Embiid's going to be in the game. He is critical. Saric, by the way, a minus 32 in 16 minutes that last game against the Bulls. How do you do that? But anyway, that game, it's amazing. But that game, unless you know the status of Embiid, it's tough. I'm just going to throw something in here, Gabe, that you didn't mention. I'm on Brooklyn tonight. The Miami Heat, give them credit, 7 games in a row after a 10 out of 11 losing 10 out of 11. Amazing, but I still think Brooklyn will come back. They had a devastating loss to Miami a few games ago where they went into the fourth quarter with a 17-point lead and blew it. I think it was.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. All right, so as I stated, no better place to be for Super Bowl week, Super Bowl weekend specifically, is either in Las Vegas, Nevada, or the site of the Super Bowl. I was there the last time the Super Bowl was in Houston, Texas, and I really wish I was there right now. It was a great time. I'm a big fan of Houston, and I'm not as crazy as I was back then, so I probably wouldn't have gotten kicked off of Media Row like I did in 2003. So let's bring in a man who's on Media Row, Mr. Jason Braddock, the source. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, what's going on, Gabe? Yeah, I know you've done this a million times over at Radio Row, but it's a unique experience for your listeners and everyone who's tuning in. It's so unique. Like right now, as I'm doing an interview, there's like Marcus Allen 5 feet away from it. So it's one of those rare instances where just Hall of Fame players are just walking among you. It's if you're a kid that grew up loving football and all that, it takes a second back to realize that, you know, this was real life.
You know, you're exactly right, Jason. And, you know, you're there in the Super Bowl. And that's the thing. I'm kind of bitter and I'm kind of jaded and stuff. But you're exactly right. When you're on Media Row, you're in the bathroom, you zip up and you turn around. You're like, oh, God, there's Lynn Swann standing next to me. And it's hard not to get too excited. You can't be that fan guy, right? Because, you know, if a current player walked by me, if Odell Beckham walks past me, I'm not like, oh, my God, that's Odell Beckham. Right. I want to get a picture with him. But if I see John Stallworth or Lawrence Taylor, I'm like, oh, my God, that's Lawrence Taylor right there. You know, it's true.
And to go back to your scenario when you're in your bathroom, you definitely don't want to get too excited at that time next to him.
No, I know. You know what? I did Media Row. I did Media Row in Houston, and I got so lucky. It was crazy. I thought I was a big shot. I swear to God, Jason, they put me next to the Jim Rome show. You can't make this up.
Wow.
I was next to Jim Rome. And on the other side of me was Tony Kornheiser. So everyone thought, who the hell is this guy? Because I'm in the middle of Kornheiser and Rome doing my show. And the best part was, Jason, I piggybacked Rome's show. I took all of his guests. So, like the guests, you can do this too. Just look over and you see Marcus Allen and go over. Hey, Marcus, can you come on over here? He was Houston, right. Texas. It was awesome. And Travis, Rome's producer, he caught on. He used to tell us all the time, like he was saying, he's like, hey, this guy's cool. He'll do it. This guy isn't. You know, we had a great week. So it's sort of just starting right now. The Falcons arrived. Have the Falcons met with the media at all yet?
No, it's tonight. I'm going to miss the Falcons. I'll be on air while I believe it's the Falcons go first tonight. You know, Goodell always looks for the biggest possible spotlight to make out of any event. So now they made it Super Bowl opening night. So you're going to get into that stuff more later on this evening. I'll be on with the Falcons, but I'll head over to catch the Patriots after the after my show ends.
You know, one thing I noticed with the Falcons getting that Heroes parade on the way to the airport That's one of the reasons why I like the Patriots in this game, because of the excitement level of the Falcons. You know, God bless their fans. You know, they're so passionate about it. They're so happy that the Falcons are going to the Super Bowl. But you get the Patriots, just like another business trip. I'm intrigued. I want to check in with you later in the week, actually. I know you'll be busy, even on Twitter or whatever. I just want to find out how you perceive the Falcons are going to handle the moment, because you know it's going to be a circus this week there. I said at the beginning of the show, Jason, me personally, I think it'd make more sense to make the teams get there earlier. You have the media day, like, you know, on Saturday or something like that, and then you let them prepare for the game, as opposed to the other way around, because this past week is when they've sort of done their game planning, and then they get to Houston, and they don't really have much control of their time.
You're exactly right. When they went to the two-week policy, the way you have the Pro Bowl in between and then the Super Bowl the week after that, and there could be that type of lull. We see it so much. These are professional athletes, so you don't have as much concern with the letdown like you do with college football. Plus, college football is usually about a month off. Yeah. But you get kind of similar, you kind of get in that similar realm to where guys, some guys don't respond with the two-week layoff. Some guys do. And we always talk about it when we talk about sitting your starters at the end of the year, headed into the playoffs. And you see some guys come out and it doesn't affect them. But on the flip side of that coin, you see some guys out come out in that first quarter, they're not themselves. They're trying to find themselves, trying to get them legs underneath them. So that plays a big part of the Super Bowl now with this two-week huge media event.
Yeah, and the Patriots have been there and done that. So what are the keys to the game, in your opinion, coming in here? I think that the Patriots are going to look to run the football. I don't think the Patriots want to get into a track meet with the Atlanta Falcons. I think they're going to try to play possession. You know, they're dink and dunk, the quick hits, the running. And I think this game could be lower scoring than a lot of people are projecting. What's your impression of this game right now?
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations where we hear about the Patriots having the number one scoring defense, and you give Belichick all the credit you want to, but at the end of the day, what the Falcons are able to do on offense, it's hard to slow that pace. But for the Patriots side of it, you have one of the better quarterbacks of all time in Tom Brady that's able to keep that pace. So, yeah, I believe I'm there with you that I think at the beginning of the game we see a lot of Garrett Blunt take the air out the ball, no pun intended, seriously, and really try to slow down the game. But then the Falcons are such a quick strike. You look at the production that offense had even when Julio Jones was out or teams were able to take him away. Somebody else stepped up because of that team speed you talked about, Gabe. So I still think it's one of those situations. Gabe, what's, I know, you're the perfect guy to ask for this. Have you seen the line on the over-under on it yet?
Yeah, it's up to 59 now. It was 58.5. It's up to 59 points right now. And we should note, Jason, there's been 9 Super Bowls that had a total of 50 or more, and 6 of them stayed under the number. And I also want to note that this total, everyone's so high, 58. The Colts and the Saints 7 years ago, that total was 57.5. Final score of that game was 31-17. Didn't even come close to going over the number.
Mm. Hey, that's an excellent point. And, I mean, I know you're the guy when it comes to those numbers and the stats and everything like that, so I should heed your warning on that. I've still been seeing it's scary because I don't think they blow out that line, but I think it's going to be pretty close to spot on. I think we could get that 60, but I mean, if you tell me, you know, 50 to 55, that's still a high scoring game, especially in a Super Bowl. And we talked about the layoffs and all the other concern. You've swayed me on this where if I'm placing my money, then I'm probably going with all the numbers and what everything says and how hard it is to get to 60 points, especially with this layoff. But my initial feeling all week though is that they're pushing right around 60. So I think it's a dangerous bet. You might probably be safer going with the point line on this one.
So you seem to think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like you think Atlanta is going to have some success. You respect this offense that much. Who do you like in the game? You know, who do you think wins the game?
Yeah, the score prediction I've been given is 34-31 Patriots. I just think it's one of those situations, and I've seen all the stats where guys who haven't been there before with less players, their record's actually better than the guys that's been there. I've seen all of those stats and all that, but I'm one of those guys that just look at the matchup, and you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. With what, you know, being down here in Houston, I saw how the Patriots played DeAndre Hopkins twice this year. Yep. Well, they'll take their number two corner, not their number one, Logan Ryan, and put a safety over the top to limit him, but you still leave your number one corner to take that second guy away. So you're going to need guys like Taylor Gabriel and Austin Hooper to really step up on the Super Bowl level. This isn't the regular season.
I was wondering about that, Jason.
How Taylor Gabriel stepped up and how Austin Hooper stepped up. But on the Super Bowl level, it's not as easy for a rookie or a young guy like Taylor Gabriel without a long track record to just live up to the limelight.
That's a great point. So you're saying, and I didn't realize this, because everyone's talking about, oh, Malcolm Butler is going to be on Jones, and we're going to see this Butler matchup. So you're saying the Patriots took their second guy, and they shade some help with the safety. They don't play one-on-one with their best guy automatically.
Right, absolutely. They decide that one guy, when you got a guy at the level of a DeAndre Hopkins or Julio Jones, who's even more elite, if not the best wide receiver in football, that one guy's not going to be able to check him. But you don't want to take two guys, including your top corner. So it's a smart philosophy that Belichick uses, and I think he still implements that this week in the Super Bowl.
So that means, for the most part, yeah, Butler will end up on Sanu quite a bit. We got to get out of here. Great insight, as always. My man, all right. I look forward to talking about the draft with you as well. But I know you're going to be real busy. Have fun. And I know you'll be working hard. But yeah, go to one of the parties or something, Jason. Have a little bit of fun down there.
Yeah, I'll be at Lee Steinberg's party this weekend. Ooh. I'm looking to have fun with that. And Warren Moon, Rick Smith, all those guys out there. So it's going to be a fun week. I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's good, too. I was thinking more like the Hustler Club party. But, you know, Lee Steinberg with the high rollers, that's pretty good, too. Thanks, Jason.
Hey, take care.
See you there. The famous Larry Flynn Hustler Super Bowl party. That's where it's at. We're going to come back with our plays of the day next. All right, we got to be quick with our plays of the day. All right, we're going to start off with the Sacramento Kings and the Sixers. Both teams have been hot against the spread. You guys know I've been giving you the Sixers on a nightly basis for about 2 weeks now. But call it a feeling. I think the Sixers have hit a little bit of a wall. I like the Kings tonight. Nets and the Heat. We're going to take a shot with the underdog and the Brooklyn Nets +8.5. You've noticed the theme of the last week and a half in the NBA. Dogs, 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 dogs. College basketball. Yeah, Duke got it done barely against Wake Forest. Nice comeback for them. But I like Notre Dame to bounce back. Notre Dame are a great home team. 14-6 against spread at home. And this game goes over the number 152.5. May the winners be yours.